Hello everyone, my name is Imani Brendat and today I will be exploring social pedagogy with you all as a approach, a profession filled with values, morals, theories, and actions. So here we go. To start off, social pedagogy aims to create a society that values the holistic development of individuals and groups. Social pedagogy does this by focusing on prevention and resolution of social problems. Social pedagogy is an ethical, theoretical, and practical approach to practice, training, education, and policy. Social pedagogy addresses social issues in a broadly educative way, because it's more than just schooling. Social pedagogy basically gets down to the nitty-gritty of things through an educational lens, and can be used with justice and welfare of all people in all situations. According to Cameron, social pedagogy is a professional field that crosses the social work and education divide. It combines academic training with the development of personal and practical skills, and this is applicable to work with children, young people, and in some cases, adults and the elderly as well. Cameron and Moss says that the pedagogy and social pedagogy is referred to as a broad educational role that is again the holistic understanding of education. The social and social pedagogy emphasizes several important features, which are the concern with the individual, the group, the community, and their interrelationships, and the good of all four levels, which I will speak on now. These four levels are the commitment to inclusiveness, confronting social problems and social issues, showing solidarity with members of marginalized groups, those who come from vulnerable families, living in poverty, and those who may be living with disabilities, and also those who may be a part of oppressed racial groups as well. According to Storrow, he mentions that social pedagogies are dedicated to educating young people and children. That social pedagogies teach in a way that is closely linked to upbringing and formation. So this is a bit different than school pedagogy. So most want to know how social pedagogy is educational. Like, what does the education of social pedagogy consist of? Well, the education consists of joint activities amongst young people and emphasizes the importance of relationships and connectedness. So social pedagogy basically uses this educational frame and lens to further connections, relationships, and a sense of connectedness amongst young people. And you know, when social pedagogy is brought up, oftentimes it's in relation to social constructivism. And it makes sense because social constructivism is a theory of knowledge and learning which contends that categories of knowledge and reality are actively created by social relationships and interactions. So this is a part of the values of social pedagogy, because it's basically saying that categories of knowledge and reality are created by our social interactions and our relationships, which holds a lot of truth. And within this podcast, I will continue to show you how social pedagogy has furthered that truth. So within social pedagogy, there is the head, the heart, and the hands. These three elements of social pedagogy matter so much. And here's what they're linked to. So the head of social pedagogy is the theory. It's important for us as social pedagogists to really take in the knowledge and the studies that have already been done on social pedagogy. That way we know where we're going with our teaching when it comes down to social pedagogy. In our heart, our professional attitude and values live. And in our hands is the practice, the action, and what we'd love to call it in our human services class is our common thirds. So that's where, in our hands, that's where you see the theory manifest, or not even manifest, I should say, you see the theory come alive or not come alive. But through those theories is how we see how we're able to test out social pedagogy and its approach. And that's all based on our attitude and our values that we hold in our heart. Social pedagogy encourages a reflective and conscious use of these three P's that I'm going to inform you all about. These three P's derive from the Danish social pedagogical concept. And the three P's consist of the professional, the personal, and the private. The professional draws on the knowledge, the theory, you know, the research, the evidence, the things that, you know, we extract from to assess and respond to situations. It enables us to work with people in a professional framework and achieve goals and objectives. Whereas with the personal, distinct from the private, it's our sharing of ourselves in a reflective way. And in this reflection, helps us build authentic relationships, which is very important to social pedagogy, because relationships is one of the foundations of our work, and it's a basis for social pedagogy to be successful. Appropriately and respectfully, sharing something personal may help reduce imbalances of power and help us connect. So once we're sharing with each other, which is our goal in social pedagogy, we are promoting a sense of connectivity to get to an eye level. To encourage our youth to get to an eye level and really see each other as human beings. And the private, the last P, refers to the private area of our lives that we just only seek to share with those who are close to us, and that's okay. And you know, this is where social pedagogues draw the line between what kind of information, what kind of context is coming from sharing in a professional relationship. So this is a place where boundaries are enforced, boundaries are encouraged and respected. This is a quote that I would love to share from the Danish residential treatment center by May. She's a psychologist at this residential center, and this is this quote is strongly linked to what social pedagogues stand on. And this quote says, "The problem is not the person, the problem is the problem." So no matter what a young person may be going through, maybe facing, we do not see that young person as a problem. We seek to work with that young person as who they are, and that problem being something that's outside of them, that's not attached to them. And that's what makes social pedagogy so special. So, there are strong relationships between the values, the theories and methods, and actions that exist within social pedagogy. To start off, our values are rooted in an eclectic attitude, which means we have to be rooted in a mindset that is able to see all sides of any situation, that is very broad, very open, and does not hold on to one single paradigm. And this attitude is what guides us to do the work, right? The work of social pedagogy. Our theories and our methods derive from many different perspectives, you know, many different walks of life. But it's all applied to the same thing, which is social pedagogy. And all the actions in social pedagogy could be linked. All actions in social pedagogy is linked and has to be linked to theory, because that's where our practice is being in. That's where the information is coming from, and that information is based in knowledge. And that knowledge is vital to us being strong in our action. And as I said before, our action is guided by theory and practical experience. And it's important for us but we acquire practical competence through reflecting on our experiences. So our actions are really guided by what we've researched, but also what we've gone through, because we have to be able to connect to our young people, as well as being able to teach them and ultimately teach ourselves before we step into social pedagogy confidently. This can be seen through supervision and through social learning communities. So, you know, in small intimate spaces, this could be implemented, and mostly that's mostly where it's implemented in the U.S. So as you all may or may not know, this semester I've been interning at the Gray Smith House, and the Gray Smith House is a domestic violence shelter that is dedicated to providing shelter, more support, and resources to those who have been victims and are now survivors of domestic violence relationships and intimate partner violence. And three examples of how social pedagogy has been displayed within this space, and even, you know, of course, referring to Soros chapter 7, when he brings up the tools of social pedagogy's trade. Some tools that have been used within Gray Smith is the bilingual social pedagogy. In Gray Smith House, they have a Latino, Latinx outreach staff. So because of the Latin population in Poughkeepsie, Gray Smith makes sure that they have staff members that reflect that growing population of Latin people in Poughkeepsie. And these outreach staff are there to support Latinx survivors. And you can find these these outreach staff in positions such as caseworking and court advocacy and counseling, et cetera, et cetera. One of the practical interventions that Grace Smith has is safety planning. So in Grace Smith House, they conduct the safety planning that is heavily focuses on the wants and the needs of a client. So everyone and every staff member in the Grace Smith House is trained to and conducts safety planning with all of their clients. That's one of the first things that they do. That's a part of intake. And this is a part of practical intervention. This is an example of practical intervention when it comes down to social pedagogy. And it's honestly been amazing to see how this has helped clients separate their wants from their needs and separate what's urgent and what can wait, and how can those working for Grace Smith support them now, or in the long run, either way. Another example of social pedagogy that I've seen displayed at Grace Smith is court advocacy. And Soros chapter number 7, he speaks on conversation being a big part of social pedagogy. And specifically with my experience as an intern with court advocates, I've seen how the one-on-one conversation that the court advocates have with the clients ultimately strengthens and empowers the client, and going back to our three P's, it opens up that space for the staff member or the court advocate, I should say, in this instance, to be professional. It allows the client to get personal, and even to get private, to share certain things that they have only shared with the court advocate. So I've seen this displayed in Grace Smith, and honestly, I've seen it being done in an impeccable way, an impeccable yet very effective. So I've seen conversations definitely be a huge part of how Grace Smith has implemented or even displayed social pedagogy work within their agency. So throughout my research on social pedagogy in the U.S., I've been informed, yet very disappointed of the scarcity of social pedagogy approaches and professions in the U.S., essentially because of the article that I read by Rokas and Vandervin on Points and Levels. Reading this article was very great. I was able to get a lot of inside information on how a social pedagogue approach and profession may look when it comes down to levels, and how points can be very demeaning, and it's not really a social pedagogy approach when it comes down to residentials and working with youth. So with that, I say that the U.S. needs to adopt more approaches and models that allow youth to level up. In other words, I think by reading this article, I was able to see how effective the different level systems were when it came down to youth being given certain privileges or not being given certain privileges. I've been able to see how the level model didn't demean or take away from the youth. Instead, it just didn't give them anything. And then with that, it's like, I want something, so I'm going to work hard for it. And I'm actually going to not work hard for it, but I'm going to be my best to receive something. And I think that the level system is more of a social pedagogy approach, and the U.S. is lacking a wide range of that. It was great to see that study being done within this article, but there needs to be more of that within our different residentials and group homes and spaces where youth come to grow and develop, so in my opinion, social pedagogy has not been fully developed in the U.S. because the U.S., in all honesty, refuses to dismantle and refine our education system. When I say that, I say social pedagogy is an approach and a profession that pushes youth and young people to know who they are. And through knowing who you are, you can build strong relationships. And the U.S. education system lacks the integrity to teach people or inform people of who they are. And we've been able to see that all throughout our education system. So that's why I strongly believe that the U.S. has a lot of work to do when it comes down to that. And that's why social pedagogy is not really an approach or a profession that we see frequently, or not even see frequently, because there's a lot of nonprofits and great agencies out there implementing different social pedagogy approaches and practices, but it's not enough spotlight nor information on why and how others who aren't can do that same thing. And I think that it's important that social pedagogy is something that we as human services generalists take with us outside of this institution, because with this approach, we are furthering the motive of social pedagogy, which is the formation of oneself through taking care of the individual needs of a person while encouraging them to build strong relationships founded on a strong sense of knowing and believing in oneself, because that's the root, right, of social pedagogy. And I think that it's so relevant in the U.S. because it's like the U.S. is crying out for help when it comes down to identity, when it comes down to connectivity, referring to a theorist from my sociology class, my sociological theory class, Bowman. He has a very strong theory on moral and virtual proximity, and how moral proximity isn't something that is valued anymore. The sense of being able to connect with others face to face in person is not a value. Instead, virtual proximity is being pushed to the forefront, and social media is taking over our lives, sadly, and putting us in a position to not connect with each other on a real level. Instead, we're connecting with each other through a device that is just not real at this point. We need our phones indeed, but it hinders us from really getting to know one another on that level. So that's what I'll conclude with. I do think that social pedagogy is an approach and a profession that I will continue to value and research to later implement in the work that I do in this world. All right, everyone, have a great one. And I hope you all learned a lot today about social pedagogy. And I encourage you all to continue your research and be great social pedagogues. Bye-bye now.